every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
Okay, so our favorite green car dude, John Volker's back in the studio. Isn't this fun?
I always like it when he comes in.
I know.
Always.
So today we're going to talk about a pretty meaty topic, which I think everybody should want to know about. I certainly do.
Well, I think it's something that a lot of folks consider at this time of year because everybody kind of rushes to either sell or buy a car at the end of a year, but they look forward to the 2014s this year.
Well, and I like that Green Car Reports and our John Volker himself does a lot of homework on what and tells us, because like really it's just overwhelming. So what are the best cars, green cars for 2000? Here, you say.
Yeah,
the
what's
title
the title of this cumbersome this cumbersome thing that you were talking about
I
previously?
Told you I'd mash it
flip
up.
Out my cheat sheets. The award is actually called the Green Car Reports. Pause. Best Car to Buy 2014 Award.
ta-da.
Exactly. So,
no, it's good. It's good.
But here are the rules. This is not looking at the entire universe of cars. This is looking at cars that are brand new or substantially revised for the 2014 model year.
And they're green in some way?
Right. And what we do is take all of the new cars and sort of put a green filter on them.
Okay.
We'll hit highest ratings in some cases. Will hit a car that's going to be important in the market because it will sell a lot of units.
Right, right.
Thereby improving efficiency. Yeah. We'll hit a car that may have new technology that we haven't seen before. And this year's five contestants, actually, are really across the board. It was kind of nice the way it filtered out.
You had five contestants, but you started with how many cars?
It's several dozen new cars this year for 2014.
Yeah, so you get busy, huh?
Yeah. Well, and actually all of the editors at High Gear Media got together a couple of weeks ago and had the finalists across all of the different sites, and we spent 2 days driving and swapping notes and taking pictures. And
I want to
very
play.
Cool.
Yeah, I would love that job, man.
Yeah.
This is one of those my job doesn't suck moments.
Yeah.
So. In any event, so the five vehicles, it turned out to be two plug-ins.
Okay.
Two battery electric cars, plug-in battery electric cars, a hybrid, a gasoline car, and a diesel.
Oh, okay.
So we'll do them in alphabetical order.
Okay.
First one is the 2014 BMW i3.
Ooh.
Now, BMW, cool, right?
Yeah, always cool. Great logo.
You may not have heard of the i3. It's a brand new line for BMW.
We saw it when we were out.
You went to the,
car show in January.
Yeah.
Were people clustering around it like they were when I saw it?
No. Actually, I was like shocked that I could, you know. We were there last day,
we were there last day. But so there's a bit of a frenzy or a din around this BMW. But why?
First plug-in BMW.
First plug-in.
It's
plug-in.
A sexy.
Is it
little
all
car.
Plug-in?
It's all plug-in.
All plug-in. Okay.
With an asterisk.
Aha.
But more importantly than that, the Germans have not historically been big believers in electric cars. They believe very strongly in diesels.
Diesel. Yeah.
And they've been slow to the take-up. Yes. BMW really had a sort of a come to Jesus moment, and they said. there's a better way to phrase that, I'm sure. But
no, come to Jesus is good.
About in 2007 or 8, they started looking at, for the next few decades, more people will be living in really big cities. You know, there are going to be emission zones in the centers of European and Asian cities where if you don't have a zero emission vehicle, you're not driving in.
Wow.
So there are a lot
of
factors.
Which makes sense, though, because places like Beijing or any congested city, you had
wasn't
that
Bloomberg
smog
talking
factor.
About doing something like that?
Well, it was going to be congestion pricing across the bridges on the East River.
Similar. Okay,
let's not go down that route.
Right. Okay.
Anyway,
but BMW,
BMW
had the forethought to do this a couple years ago.
And they're doing
ago.
An entire line of plug-in vehicles,
really?
Both battery electric and plug-in hybrid.
Oh, you got to plug
after
me
this
in, baby.
One. After this one, they have one called the i8, which is a small two-seat, very sexy sports coupe that's a plug-in hybrid.
I like very sexy. I could look good in very sexy.
Tell me the size, because I don't know if you remember the BMW i3. I think the size is comparable to the Fiat, maybe, the 500?
The i3 is what we'd call a subcompact.
Yeah.
It's tall. It has actually a lot of interior room, but the footprint isn't actually very big.
Right.
But here's the thing about BMW's i-line. Unlike the rest of the Germans, unlike Audi and Mercedes-Benz, BMW is doing entirely new technology. they have a new construction method. It's an aluminum platform that has the powertrain and the crash structures and a carbon fiber reinforced plastic body.
Ooh. Plastic body?
First use of carbon fiber in mass production, 30,000 a year in the world. Carbon fiber was initially used only for race cars.
Corvettes. Right?
Ferraris,
right.
Corvettes.
Yeah. Lightweight cars, yeah. Exactly right, or race cars. That
BMW is making a city car with this body of carbon fiber reinforced plastic that's so strong you don't need a door pillar between the front and the back door.
Really?
There's one big opening.
No kidding. Yeah. I would look good in that car. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know, like I'm wincing because it feels unsafe. It just sounds like it would be a dangerous car.
But it's all reinforced, you said.
It's reinforced, and more than that, any car maker now has to pass all of the safety tests.
Of course
tests.
They do.
The i3 has to pass the NHTSA and IIHS just like everybody else. It will be safe. I'm not so worried about that. But
okay.
It's very lightweight. Carbon fiber reinforced plastic
right.
is way lighter than steel.
So there you have your efficiency.
So you get much more efficient. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the i3 is a fascinating car. The interior, very un-BMW-like. It's Scandinavian modern, almost.
Really?
Because BMW?
Are you kidding? Because BMW, one of my biggest complaints about BMW is that the interior never changes.
Yeah.
It's the same car, year after year after year after year, with a different model number stuck on its back trunk, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
we call
sexy.
That evolutionary design.
Yeah, but yes,
the i3, just it's for that category
really?
Of vehicle, it's a total reset. Instead of instrument clusters,
yeah.
they have two screens on little stalks,
ooh.
One in the center, one behind the wheel. It's pretty remarkable.
Meet George Jetson.
Mm-hmm. So the i3 is clearly
you're
a
excited about
step
it.
Forward.
Wait a minute.
I can see you're excited about this car.
Is it an all EV car? So
yeah.
It doesn't have the same transmission as a traditional BMW,
correct.
Obviously.
And it's a rear wheel drive car.
Really?
Like all BMWs.
Yeah, I know.
So
when the heck are, you know, that's no good for people who live here.
In the snow.
Oh,
yeah.
It's actually,
areas.
If you only have one set of wheels driven.
You want the back ones?
The back ones will get you up hills. I live on a hill, so I know this. But in any event, you had asked, is it battery only? The answer is yes, but with an asterisk.
Okay.
You can buy, optionally, a range extender that fits under the rear deck. No compromise in luggage space. That's an adapted motorcycle engine to run a generator to get you going another 80 miles.
Oh, my God.
They have a tiny little gas tank, less than 3 gallons up front. And there's a complicated regulatory reason. Under California rules.
Compliance.
Under California rules, this counts as a battery electric vehicle, even if the engine is running.
No kidding.
We don't need to go down that
okay.
hole either.
But what's the price tag?
The price tag on this starts at about $43,000.
Oh, man.
The range extender is about $4,000.
$40,000 short.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
But let's just say we had to nominate this one. It's such a step forward from a company that really didn't believe 10 years ago.
So, right.
It's lightweight. It's innovative in design. And we haven't got the ratings yet, but we expect it to be quite efficient for each kilowatt hour. So that was number one, the BMW.
Okay.
Then
we have four more to go.
Four more to go. Remarkably, two Chevrolets. We have first the Chevy Cruze diesel, first diesel passenger vehicle sold by General Motors, not pickup trucks, but passenger car, since 1986.
Diesel. And diesel's exciting. Why?
Diesel is exciting because under certain duty cycles, it's extremely efficient.
Yeah.
Modern clean diesels, you will have no idea it's a diesel.
Okay.
You will hear it clattering.
Yeah,
that was my next question.
Yes. But the exhaust is as clean as any other vehicle. You actually now put a substance called diesel exhaust fluid to make the chemistry work right. The space taken up by the after treatment to clean the exhaust probably is greater than the space taken up by the engine. There is an enormous amount of very sophisticated exhaust
filtering?
Catalytic converters,
yeah.
Two different converters, a filter for particulates. These are not the diesels you remember, and they are not your neighborhood garbage truck.
Wow.
So the thing is,
Mercedes used to do a lot of diesel.
Mercedes
still does.
Volkswagen
huge.
And Mercedes have been sort of the high and low end.
Yeah.
BMW and Audi now are also selling diesels.
Really?
Yeah. But this is a Chevrolet that wants to go after Volkswagen Jetta diesel.
Okay. Yeah,
so
it's a comparable.
$24,000.
Okay.
Pricier than a gasoline Cruze by about $6,000 if you get the stripper base model.
Right.
But, you know,
I like
reasonable
power windows. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No stripper model.
No stripper model.
These days, actually, even the base models have power windows.
All right. Listen, I had to ask for them on the Ford. I just bought a Ford Transit Connect.
It's just the phrasing.
And they had the roll-up window. No, I'm sorry. They must be power windows.
Yeah, I'm too classy for a stripper model.
But I digress. Go ahead.
So the Cruise diesel, first passenger diesel sold by GM in a very long time. It's a mass market car. They sell hundreds of thousands of Cruises a year.
Yeah, they do.
So this is not sort of your obscure model over in a corner. We'll see how it's doing. It's an adaptation of the German diesel.
And that is a lot less CO2 emissions. So, I mean,
The numbers come out roughly in the same vicinity as a high mileage gasoline engine.
All right.
But the idea is, and I boil it down to one sentence, it depends how you drive. If you drive like a traveling salesman, buy a diesel.
Right.
If you drive like a New York City cabbie, lots of stop and go, traffic, suburban shuttling around, buy a hybrid.
Yeah.
So diesel, this is not a car you want to drive in New York City necessarily, but for the people who cover a lot of highway miles, they're supremely efficient at highway miles.
Okay.
So that was number two. Number three, Chevy Spark EV.
Oh, Sparkle. I call it the Sparkle. Yep.
I call it the Chevy Sparkle.
Most efficient rated battery electric vehicle sold this year.
Really?
More efficient than every other battery electric vehicle sold. GM has done a remarkable job of engineering the Spark EV.
So do you think with what, you know, them winning this position in your award thing, whatever, 2014 best car, you think they might consider producing more of these? Because it's annoying that it's California only or whatever.
Indeed. I wish we had that power, but we don't, and the answer is no.
Yes, you do. You have the power of the pen.
You have the power.
Believe me, you've been trying.
Okay, so we know the Sparkle, as I like to call it.
We will
it,
see.
Is doing well.
I was a little disappointed to find out that they're not going to put it on retail sale in Canada, and they're not going to put it on sale in Europe at the moment at all.
Oh,
which they said they were going to. So that doesn't bode so well, but the Spark EV is way fun to drive. It's far more powerful than any gasoline Spark.
Isn't it bizarre? I was surprised.
And yet,
it's completely
like monorail
different.
Silent, remember? Yeah. I just kept saying, whoa, this is so cool. I think I drove that one too, right? Didn't I?
Yeah.
That was a fun car.
So for quality of execution and for its efficiency ratings, we nominated the Spark EV.
Okay.
So then
Even though it's a very small niche market, if you will.
You
can only do California. That's tough.
If it is, in fact, a compliance car, that sort of mitigates against it, but we'll see.
Okay, so we've got two more, and we're running out of time.
Then we have the Honda Accord Hybrid, new for 2014.
There's
also a plug-in version, but we're really concentrating on the regular hybrid because it's rated at 47 miles a gallon combined. And I'm testing one right now to see if that's real world.
You drove that in,
But there is no vehicle rated higher than that, 47 miles a gallon combined, that isn't called Prius.
Right.
Honda, in its first attempt at a proper full hybrid in a midsize sedan, has come in right at the top of the pack outside the Prius family.
Well, I would be surprised if that wasn't the case with Honda. You know,
well, and
I don't know why,
about
but
this
it,
one.
They
they're
are,
making
yeah.
it in Ohio, which is nice.
Oh,
so this is
we love that. We love that.
Your Prius is still made in Japan.
Okay, folks, pay attention to John.
The hybrid.
Yeah.
And then finally, we have a gasoline vehicle. It's the 2014 Mazda 3. It's Mazda's compact car, always historically very fun to drive, four-door compact sedan or five-door hatchback. But Mazda has got an entirely new line of engines and transmissions under the very Japanese brand Sky Active. No E on the active. Don't ask me why, but that's what they call them. And what they've done is essentially race-tuned the engines for ultimate efficiency. No turbochargers, no hybrids, just conventional, smaller gasoline engines tuned to be extremely efficient in a very lightweight vehicle designed around the engine package, which is a little bit larger because the race fans among your audience, should there be any, will recognize that these engines have race-tuned headers. It looks like spaghetti coming off the side of the engine.
Oh, really?
Which actually turns out to be much more efficient.
Zoom.
It takes a lot more room.
Right?
Mazda, right?
Okay,
zoom.
I'm putting in for the BMW.
Yeah, no, me too.
All
me
right,
too.
So I'd like to see the color chart, please.
Well,
It's like this copper color. Actually, it's the one car I've seen is like this color with black, right?
Yes, it's the I called it bronze.
Quite
a striking color. You can also get them in silver because they're German cars, and all German cars come in silver.
Yeah, what is that about?
Ho hum.
It's the default color. Yeah. It's the lease color. Yeah. But so the BMW, the Chevy Cruze diesel, which is all over the country.
Yeah.
The BMW will be rolled out in certain areas. Most of their dealers have signed up to sell it eventually, but they're going to start in the usual places, the Northeast, California.
Well, you know, our
Washington
dealer right
Oregon.
Here, Gearhart, was the first one to sell the first Volt. They made a big fuss about it.
Okay.
It was like the very, whatever.
Yeah. New Jersey is one of the states that follows California emissions rules, I believe.
Oh,
that's
good.
That gets you ahead of the game.
Unless it's a Fiat. For some reason.
Unless it's a Fiat 500e Cabriolet. Thank you very much. Fiat, you
John,
listening?
John, what's the price point again for the Chevy Spark?
The Spark EV is $27,500 before any incentives.
Right, so it's around $20,000 if you get that $7,500.
After the effect of a federal income tax credit. Yeah, it's $20,000 effective. I like to say effective because you can take up to 15 months to recognize that savings.
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on when you file
your
taxes.
What about the Honda Accord?
The Accord Hybrid comes in the mid to high 30s. Although I give them credit, they're actually offering a couple of different trim levels. Historically, hybrids have been only at the top of the range, so you're paying a lot of money. Basically, the manufacturers are making up in profit on the creature comforts, the expense of the hybrid. Honda's actually offering a couple of different trim levels on the hybrid, which I compliment them for.
And the Mazda?
And then the Mazda actually starts sort of 20-ish. I have to go back and look at the pricing. Although, for the very top-of-the-line models, which have a lot of new electronic safety features, you can actually surprisingly get up to about 30.
Okay. So you have five cars. Is one getting an award, or are these all being lauded?
One of them is going to be announced as the Green Car Reports.
Oh, drum roll, please.
Goodness.
When is
Best
that?
Car to Buy 2014.
When is that announcement coming?
That'll be in the middle of next week.
Stay tuned for the rest of the show.
I can't wait to find out who wins.
I know. Stay tuned.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.